served the wine and the bread and the sons of the earth. How beautiful the feet that walked the long dusty roads and the hills to the cross. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. How beautiful the heart that bled, that took all my sin and bore it instead. How beautiful the tender eyes that choose to forgive and never despise. How beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. And as he laid down his life, we offer this sacrifice that we will live just as he died, willing to pay the price, willing to pay the price. How beautiful the radiant bride who waits for her groom with his light in her eyes. How beautiful when humble hearts give the fruit of pure life so that others may live. How beautiful, how beautiful, how beautiful is the body of Christ. I think I'm going to have to stop there. There's a little bit more, but you all get the gist of it. My voice is about gone. But anyway, Jesus Christ is beautiful. And we are to reflect his life. We will never be him, and we will never be perfect, but we need to strive to. So someday, it's a wonderful thing. We're going to be standing before him. He was a servant here. He's still serving us. He's standing between us. When we face judgment, he's there when the judge says, guilty. He's there to say, oh, but they're mine. I paid the price. Amen. And Jesus has promised that no one that are his will ever be lost. And he said, who are those? But those who have believed on me. So it's open to everyone. There's not anyone who cannot be saved. My prayer for the new year is those who don't know Christ yet will find him. You know, there's a lot of turmoil in our country, but I was just thinking, I started school in 62, I think 61 or 62, I was five. I graduated high school in 74 and my two-year nursing degree in 76. My entire childhood was taken up with the civil rights movement and the Vietnam War. There's always turmoil. People before me, they had the Korean War, the World War II, World War I, the Depression. There's always something, but if you know Christ, you're able to still have joy and rise above these earthly things. There's always going to be earthly trials. There'll be great joys, but there'll be trials. But the joys that last are the joy of Jesus Christ in our heart, and that's what I pray for you.
And I want to say this. I don't want the church to ever think that I beg for members. It's not about numbers to me. But it's about following the Lord. The Bible says that He places the members in the body where it's pleasing to Him. So I'll not beg you this morning on the account that that's maybe what I might desire, but I'll beg you this morning to follow the Lord because that's what He desires. And if He wants you here, it'll work. So this morning, once again, I'll beg you to follow the Lord. You say, well, Brother Casey, that's a little out of order. Listen, when God's in order, it'll be all right. So this morning, we here at Fairview Memorial, we're going to stand and have a verse or two of song this morning. But I want to say, I want to give the invitation. And we receive members here by experiencing baptism, meaning that you've been saved, you've got a time and a place. You can come forward and present yourself for membership, and after baptism, you'll be given all rights and privileges. You can come this way by a letter or credit of a letter from a sister of church of like faith and order. It believes and practices the same way as we do. And once upon receiving that letter, you'll be given all rights and privileges. You can also come this way by restitution, meaning you've been excluded from this body. The Lord's forgive you. I believe we've also got obligation to forgive you. So at this time, we'll stand and have a verse or two of song. And like I said, I just want to encourage you this morning to follow God and do what He would have you to. Let's start the year off the way the Lord
would have you. 183.
I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. I can hear my Savior calling. Take thy cross and follow, follow me. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He leads me, I will follow. Where He
Four.
He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. He will give me grace and glory. And go with me, with me, all the way. Where He leads me, I will follow.
I'll say that I've fulfilled what I felt like I needed to do this morning. And I'll say this. If any time during this service the doors of the church are open, you pray about it. You seek. You ask the Lord. And if you feel like this is where God wants you to be, then you let us know. And we'll see about fulfilling those obligations. I have a great interest and a desire in your prayers this morning. As always, thought a lot about here this last week. Had several thoughts. Just trying to navigate through the things that God has put into our mind. And a lot of things this morning's already been made mention. I thought about a lady back home. She passed away this last week. One of the sweetest ladies that I guess I've ever known. She was just a dear saint of God. She really was. And my thought kept coming to, who's going to fill their shoes? And then I began to think about Brother Sanford, his passing this last year. And I thought about Brother Lowe and his passing. And I thought about who's going to fill their shoes. And you say, well, Brother Cole, that's a George Jones song. But there's a lot of truth in that. Who's going to fill their shoes and who's going to stand that tall? And as I began to think about the year and how it's went and where we're at today, I began to think about if we're not careful, we'll let our past hinder our future. And I thought a lot about those things, and I really tried to get down to a place that maybe God might help us really figure out where He might have us to bring today. And all I could really come down to was those two thoughts. So this morning I might lay that to you. Who's going to fill their shoes? Are you going to fill their shoes? Am I going to fill their shoes? Somebody's got to be willing to step up and step in. Somebody's got to be willing to take up the cross. Somebody's got to look out towards the future. And you say, well, preacher, we're to take one day at a time. I realize that this morning, and I yet even struggle with that. I'm probably one of the most impatient people that you'll meet. I get impatient because I come wanting and expecting God to move. This morning as I began to come on the way to church, I thought, Lord, would you move in a great and mighty way amongst your people today? Lord, would you move in such a way that they might be encouraged? And yet even this morning as a minister, that's our desire, that the lost might be convicted and that God's people might be encouraged. Because if there ever was a time that God's people needed encouragement, it's now. With everything that's going on in the world today, God's people need to be encouraged that there is a God in heaven who is alive and He is ever present with the Father, and He's seated at the right hand of God this morning, and He maketh intercession for us. And this morning, as it's a new year, it's a new day, yet God says, I'll walk with you. My friend, today is a special day. It's a great day to be in the house of the Lord. So if there ever was a time that God's people needed to be encouraged, it's now. I thought about last year and I thought, Lord, I want to see lost people saved, and yet that's still my desire today. Listen, God's word will not return unto Him void. And I believe as long as the word continues to go out, it'll have its effect. So continue to pray for these that are lost, that they'll hear the word. I made mention Wednesday night in our Bible study. I'll get to my subject just here in a moment. Wednesday night during Bible study, I made a mention. I said, sometimes it just seems like maybe they won't receive us at this time. But my friend, you keep preaching Jesus to them. You kept telling them. You keep testifying about the one that has saved you, about the one that has given you that promise. And my friend, I believe there will come a time, a day in their life, my friend, that finally that word will settle into their heart. And it'll convict them. And during that time, they'll finally turn over and trust in the Lord. All in due season. I thought a lot about, as I said before, who's going to fill their shoes. I began to think about wasted years. Wasted time. Time is probably one of the most valuable assets that we do not own. We try to lay hold to it. We try to incorporate it in every aspect of our life. We wake up at a certain time in the morning. We go about our day. We go to bed usually at about a certain time. We've got time that we've got to have the children to do this, or time for this and that. But with God, there is no time. Yet we know the Bible says as one day is with 1,000 years and 1,000 years is as one day with Him. He does not think about the time maybe as we do. But I want you to understand something this morning, that we begin to think about wasted time or wasted years, if you will. And I began to think about my past. And I heard a preacher even speaking about a little bit of these things this week. And boy, it just settled in my heart. And I began to think about wasted time and how precious that it really is. I thought about how good this last year has been and how busy that we've been. But I'm thankful that we've been busy in the Lord. I'm thankful that my wife and my family, I want to encourage you this morning, if you're here and young and you've brought your children to church, there's no better place to bring your children to church. They'll forget about Disneyland. They'll forget about this and that before the week's over, but I'm telling you, they'll not forget about what they've learned here. There's no better place to have your children or grandchildren in the Lord's house. And I began to think about time and how quickly this last year is. When I told Jessica, I said, it feels like a blur. I said, I feel like I've opened my eyes up last January and here it is, the first day of January all over again. But I'm thankful for those, those scotching blocks that God has thrown in the way in the last year. He's scotched me up and He's helped me. I want you to know this morning that if you're serving God, it's not been wasted. That if you're trying to serve Him, those days in the past, they've not been wasted. And I want to try to encourage you a little bit this morning that the Lord will be our help. Do pray for us. I want to flip over here. I realize that we're fixing to have a subject here in a short month, and I don't intend to take away from the brethren that will be bringing the subject, but I want to take our reading lesson. Our text will come from the book of Joel this morning, and that's where we'll take our reading. Just a short way of just a brief history. We know that Joel was a prophet unto Judah. And for time's sake, I'll not get into everything, but there was a great sin that had come upon them. And no doubt Joel began to prophesy that the locusts would come and that they would devour. There would be a great drought among the land, that things would dry up. And yet he even began to prophesy about this army that would come in and that would defeat them. And yet, I want you to understand, if you've never read the book of Joel, I encourage you to read through the whole book. It's not a very lengthy book. It's only 3 chapters long, but it is full and of abundance of things. But this morning I began to think about this, and I do have a great interest and a desire in your prayers, as I said. I want to take here for a reading lesson this morning in the 2nd chapter of Joel in the 24th verse. It says, "And the floors shall be full of wheat, and the vat shall overflow with wine and oil. I will restore to you the years that the locust have eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillar, and the palmer worm, and my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed." As we began to look in the beginning parts of this particular book this morning, just a brief history, but no doubt Judah had a great sin. As far as in the description, we don't know exactly. No doubt they had fallen away from serving the Lord. And I want you to know and understand this morning, in that type of region, no doubt rain was important. They relied upon those things that they might have rain for their crops and different things. So when a drought was to come, and we know then that no doubt these caterpillars and no doubt these locusts and these cankerworms and these caterpillars and these planar worms were to come and destroy and to devour what was left. And he began to say, what the locusts don't eat, another will come and they'll take those things. And what that doesn't eat, another will come and it'll take those things. And what that doesn't eat, another will come and it'll take those things. And my friend, this morning there may be a broader picture in that than what we're trying to bring out. But our thought this morning comes from the 25th verse. And he says, "I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten." And this morning I want you to know and understand, and maybe none of y'all have struggled with this, but I know certainly it's hit home with me this week. If you're not careful, my friend, you'll allow your past to get in your way. You allow the things that have gone on in the past, the failures that you've had with God, you allow those to hinder your walk. If you're not careful, you'll look at the things that you have done in the past and they'll hinder your walk with God. But I want you to know and understand, as Joel prophesies here, he said, God will restore unto you those years. He said, the years that's been lost, the years that seems like they've wasted, he said, God will restore those things. This morning, maybe nobody else has had those thoughts like I have. But I want to tell you this morning that I don't take an honor or a pride in that. But there's been times in my life that I have failed God. There's been times in my life that I have let God down. And my friend, I'll tell you this morning, I'm not proud of those things. But I'll tell you this morning, if you're trying to move forward, you've got to let those things go. You can't focus on the things of yesterday if you're trying to look towards the things of today. Listen, devil, Satan, all he wants to do is seek and devour and destroy. And my friend, this morning, he knows that he can't have your soul. He knows that it's been sealed unto the day of redemption. But my friend, I do want you to know that if he can get you down to a place of depression, if he can get you down to a place of anxiety, if he can get you to a place to where you feel like you're so stressed that you can't move forward, if he can get you down to a place that you're thinking about something that took place 4 or 5 years ago, my friend, he gets you to that place, then what service are you to God? But I'll have you know this. My God is big enough to restore those years. You say, how can He restore them? How can He restore the years that I've lost? My friend, because He's God. That's how He can. Because He's God. Listen, in the second chapter of Joel, Joel says, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound the alarm in the holy mountain. And let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, and it is nigh at hand. The word Joel, if we was to look that up, it means Jehovah is God. And yet He, no doubt, was declaring here about the judgment that was to come upon Judah. I want you to know this morning, most certainly, that there's going to come a day and time when God is going to come back. He will have His judgment. But folks, it's not today as far as right now. I've not heard a trumpet sound. And my friend, while I've got time, church, brothers and sisters, I want to work and I want to be about His business. He told those men over there, those disciples, He said, why you stand here gazing? He said, why stand here gazing? He said, be about the Father's business. And I'm paraphrasing that. He said, why you stand here gazing, looking up? He's gone. He said, be diligent about His work. Yet here we know that Joel, he said, sound the alarm. My friend, if there ever was a time that we need to be sounding the alarm, it's now. But listen to what he says. He says in the 12th verse, he says, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent and leave a blessing behind him, even as a meat offering and drink offering unto the Lord, even unto the Lord your God. And I want to stop there for a moment. He says, therefore now saith the Lord, turn ye to me with all your heart. Turn ye to me with all your heart. He says, don't rend ye garments. He said, but rend me your heart. In the Old Testament, we can find there that when there was a great show of humility, when they were to be brought low, that they would rent their garments. They would tear them off. And they'd be covered in black sackcloth. They were to be brought low. He said, listen, don't render me your garments. He said, but render me your heart. He said, make not an example of the outside, but He said, I want to know about your heart. And my friend, this morning, it's still a heart work. It always will be a heart work, my friend, this morning. When we're serving God, it's about the heart. It's not about the things of the outside, but, my friend, rather the things of the inside of the heart. He said, rend me your heart. I think about the sin in this life that does so easily beset me. That Paul said, the things that I wouldn't do, I do. The things that I rather that I would do, he said, and I'm paraphrasing that, he said, but yet I don't. I think about those things. I think about how the locusts have come, and no doubt throughout my life they've eaten away at things. They've tried to destroy those things. But yet I'm so very thankful this morning that God has come into my life when I've rendered my heart unto Him and He has restored those things to me. We can't allow ourselves to look back into things of the past and hinder our walk with God. He knows that we're men. He knows that we're women. He knows that we fail, but yet He loves us. He loves us. Be thankful for the chastening hand of God. For as a father loves his children, and he chasteneth them because he loves them. I'm thankful for God who loves us, and he has chastened me. It's difficult and it's hard, but I'm thankful. This morning, as I began to think about that, I thought about what 1 John over here says. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins unto him, he is faithful and just to forgive them. Listen to me this morning. It's important that as God's people, that yet we don't look back upon the things. Listen to me. I know there's memories, and I know there's things that we cherish. But my friend, don't enable yourself to look back and say, we live in a generation of time that young people are saying, live with no regrets. You ever heard that? That's the generation we live in now. Young people say, live with no regrets. Church, I'm full of regrets. I'm full of them. I wish that I would have done this differently. Or I wish that I would have done that. Or, Lord, I wish I'd been patient and just waited on you. I wish I would have heard your voice before I went this and done this. Lord, I wish this. Or God, I wish I could have done it this way. I'm full of them. But I can't change them. Don't allow those things in your past to hinder your walk with God. Because we need people that's going to fill the shoes of those that's done went on home to be with Him. We need people who are going to stand tall. Listen, you don't think David didn't have sin in his life? You don't think that David didn't have iniquity in his life? You don't think David didn't have troubles and trials? But yet, what did he do? He poured his heart out to God. And God cleaned him up in the 51st Psalm. He said, Lord, I know that I've been born and shaken in iniquity. He said, for I come forth from my mother's womb speaking lies. He said, I know what I am. He said, I know I'm no count. But he said, yet God, I love you. Let's read that. I didn't think I was going to look at that, but let's read that this morning. 51st Psalm. He says, behold, I was shaken in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and the hidden parts thou shalt make me know wisdom. He said, purge me with that hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart. No doubt David had knew and experienced the joy of God, but he said, renew it, clean it up, God, because I want to serve you. He said, hide my face from my sins and blot out all my iniquity. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. David hadn't lost his salvation, but he had lost the joy of it. My friend, this morning, if we're not careful, we'll lose the joy. I was talking to a man. Y'all pray for me. I need the Lord's help this morning. I was talking to a man several years ago. He's of a different denomination. And he said, you Baptist, it's all emotion with you Baptist. I said, let me tell you like this. I said, when God puts what he's put in my heart, I said, you better believe it's going to stir up an emotion. is joy, not an emotion. Along with other things. Boy, I tell you what, if I had something that didn't stir up some kind of emotion in my heart, I'd be a little bit concerned. My friend, he said, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. My friend, there's joy in serving God. David said, no longer do I want to look at my past mistakes. He said, but clean me up, God, and use me. Maybe don't nobody else here struggle with that, but boy, I do. I tell you, one of the greatest times, I was a young minister. I was just getting my start. And we went out to do a youth thing with all of our youth. And we went to this, I don't know what you'd call it. It was over here in Kentucky somewhere. And this church was putting on skits kind of deal. And it was kind of around Halloween time. We wanted to do something as a church group. We went through those things, and at the very end of it, they had this deal where it was kind of looked like heaven. You know, I'd never been anywhere like that or seen anything like that. And as we're sitting there, and they're dismissing, and they're having this prayer right in the middle of it, they start to have this repeat after me prayer. Boy, my heart just started pounding. There was lost in our group. And I was afraid. I was scared to speak up. I walked outside and they had school buses out there in the parking lot. And I thought, Lord, they're deceiving them by the thousands. And that example has always stuck with me. I thought, Lord, if you forgive me, I'll try my best to never fail you like that again. Don't look back at those things and say, use them as an act of depression or yet stressful moments, but use them to encourage your future. Use them to encourage you. Help them as fuel to say, God, I'll do better. As the new year approaches. I want to be. This is me. I want to be a better daddy. I want to be a better husband to my wife. I want to be a better son of God. I want to be a better preacher. I want to be a better pastor. I want to be a better friend. Lord, would you help me to do better this year than I did last year? Listen to what he says. He said, I will restore to you the years that the locusts have eaten. How does God restore that? Boy, he can. He can. And he wants to. I think about the prodigal son and how he left with his inheritance. He went out and had rigorous living. He done everything that the world had to offer. He spent all that he had, the Bible said. He found himself wallowing around in the filth of the world, eating the husk of the swine. He found himself rolling around in the mud. And yet he said, why do I sit here when my father's servants have better than I do? And it says, as his father was standing there, he seen his son a great far off. He began to run to him. He kissed him on the neck. And he said, you fetch him. He said, you fetch him a robe. He said, you put shoes on his feet. And he said, we'll kill the fattest calf. Listen to me. Maybe y'all are different than I am. Maybe you've never rolled around in the filth of the world. I'm not proud of it. But boy, I'll tell you this. I'm thankful God is standing there with his arms wide open. Boy, you think you've really lived? I think about the joy that there may seem to the world going out. Ain't no telling how many people, what all they done last night bringing in the new year. I'm thankful some of them was at a singing last night. I'm not bragging. You know what I done when I closed my eyes last night? I was laying there in my bed. I rolled over to my bride and said, Happy New Year. And I began to pray, Lord, would you help me? I wasn't out in the world doing those things. I was trying to pray the old year out and the new year in. The world wants to think there's joy out there. I'm telling you, the only joy, true joy I've ever experienced is in serving God. That's the only true experience of joy I've ever really had. He says, I'm going to finish up here shortly. And he says, you shall know that I am in the midst of Israel and that I am the Lord your God, none else, and my people shall never be ashamed. He said, it shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Excuse me. Back up to the 26th verse. And you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the Lord. Praise the name of your Lord that have dealt wondrously with you. Hasn't he dealt wondrously with you? Hasn't he dealt wondrously? God has been good to me. Has he been good to you? Oh, he's been good to me. He told them over here. He said, blow the trumpet in Zion and sanctify fast and call a solemn assembly. He said, gather the people and sanctify the congregation and assemble the elders and gather the children. And those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber and the bride out of his closet. And let the priest and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. And let them say, spare the people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, where is their God? He said, sanctify yourself. He said, clean yourself up. And he said, priests and ministers, he said, find yourself between the altar and the porch. Praying out to God. Listen to me this morning. If this message is for anybody, it's for me. Don't let the things of the past hinder. Don't let the things that you can't change in you. Trust in the Lord. Let us humble our hearts this year. Let us have a true and earnest desire to see lost people saved. Let us come to the Lord's house expecting great things. Let us seek out His will that He might clean up our land. Better yet, let us seek out His will that He might clean up our homes and our families. There's things going on in my family. Listen, I've got lost people in my family. I've got things going on. But listen, God is big enough. Does He not work wondrously in your life? Boy, as I've sat back and examined my life, He has worked wonders. Wonders. Your story is not wrote. I believe I was reading Sister Kay's post the other night on Facebook. She made mention, she said, I'm fixing to turn the next chapter in my book. Folks, the Lord's still writing another chapter. He's still writing another chapter, sister. I'm thankful for that, and my book's not finished.
He's still working on me. He's still building on me. He's still shaping me and molding me into something that He can use. He's not done. I'm going to read this and I'll be done. Apostle Paul mentions here in the Philippian letter in the 3rd chapter. I want you to look at this, and if you ain't got nothing else today, I want you to listen. This boy, this scripture right here, I'm telling you, I thought my heart, Lord, just open it up to us, but I want you to listen to what Paul says in the 3rd chapter. And he says, "And yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung that I may win Christ and be not found in Him, not having my own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ and the righteousness which is by God by faith, that I may know Him." He said that I may know Him. Boy, I want to know Him better and better every day. "And that the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings." Boy, when I began to examine the sufferings of Christ and the power of His resurrection, boy, I tell you what, it draws me closer and closer. "Being made comfortable," excuse me, "made conformable unto His death. If by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of dead, not as though I had already obtained, neither were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I might apprehend that for which I am also apprehended of Jesus Christ." He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to be apprehended." Now listen. He said, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth to those things which are before." He said, forgetting those things which are behind, whether they be good, whether they be bad, he said, I forget them, but he said, I'm reaching forth for those things that are before me. And he said, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Woo! Let us press forward toward the prize. I'm pressing forward. I'm moving on towards my reward. I'm not going to look back no more. Jesus told him over there, he said, "Any man taking hold of the plow and looking back is not fit for the kingdom of God." My friend, take hold of the plow. And don't look back. Look forward towards Jesus. Stop looking back. What happened to Lot's wife when she turned back? She turned to a pillar of salt. Quit looking back. And look forward to the prize that lies before us. Boy, I'm thankful. It truly is a prize. It truly is a prize. Forget those things that hinder your walk. And lo, lay hold of those things that lay before you. And keep marching towards that prize. So you ask me today, who's going to fill those shoes? Brothers and sisters, with every step that we make towards that prize, let us try our best. No, I'll never be able to fill the shoes of my preaching brethren that are before me. I'll never be able to fill that brother's shoes. I know I won't. Brother Moran, I'll never be able to fill the shoes of Brother Jerry Miller. I know I won't. But I'm going to tell you what, church, somebody's got to stand that tall. Somebody's got to try. And Lord, like we said before, I'd rather have Jesus than anything else in this world. So I'm going to try. It's a new day. It's a new year. Let us forget those things that hinder our walk, and let us press towards the mark. That's our message today. I hope that it's a help to you. You know what the word past means? I'm going to say this. You know what? You reckon everybody here's got a past? We do, don't we? You know what the word past means? You'll have to excuse me. I just got this thought sitting in Sunday school, the part about this. So, Webster's 18 and 28 says this. Gone by, done, accomplished, ended. That's what the word past means. It's done. It's ended. Can't change it. But God can restore. You asked me this morning, how do I know? Because he has for me multiple times. I love you this morning. That's our message. Brother Strode, if you'd get us a song.
Number 257. 257. Serving God, moving forward. Let's stand. 1 and 2. Each step I take, my Savior goes before me, and with his loving hand, he leads the way. And with each breath, I whisper, I adore thee. Oh, what joy to walk with him each day.